رحمك يا رب، رحمك يا رب العباد رجائي ورضاك قصدي، استجب لي دعائي. رحمك يا رب العباد رجائي ورضاك قصدي، فاستجب لي دعائي. وحماك أبغي يا إلهي راجيا منك الرضا، فجد بولائي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to the show. In this show, we aim to answer those questions that are youths are posing, those challenging and difficult questions that sometimes don't even let us sleep at night. And inshallah, through the help of Allah in this show and the presence of scholars from the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum, we aim to dig into the question and pull out the answer and inshallah find a satisfying answer to those questions inshallah wa ta'ala. For this, we're joined by Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali and Sheikh Amir Rastani, both from America. Sheikh Salim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Sheikh Amir, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you very much for both of you to being here.
Thank you, and my greetings to all the watchers of this program as well too.
Now, today's question is something that probably most of us have asked this question, if not loudly, at least in our hearts. The answer might be, the question is very simple, the answer might be a bit more complicated and might deserve more pondering. All of us have needs to ask from Allah. All of us want to ask something from Allah most of the time, if not for everything. And sometimes these needs are very, very strong. We really, really need something. I really want to pass my exam. I really want to pass this driving test. I really want to become friend with this person, this and that. Whether it's material or whether it's spiritual. So we pick up a dua book, we pick up a long a'mal to do in the mafatih, and usually we pick up the one that at the bottom says, or at the end it says, if you recite this, then for sure 100% the dua is guaranteed. So we recite this, spend a lot of time reciting this and in all the a'mal, different shapes there are. However, sometimes or often the dua is not accepted. I don't see any result of my dua. What I wanted is not granted. What I seeked for, I don't find it. Why is this? Does Allah not love me? Does Allah not listen to me? Are my sins too great that Allah doesn't care about me? What's happening? What's the reason why I plead to Allah and He doesn't answer me?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this is a good question, and I wanted to structure the answer of this based on two main points, and then inshallah we can hear from Sheikh Amin as well too on this important question. The first point is that there's a claim that's made that Allah is not answering my dua. But I want to really ask a question back to the person who was asking that claim. Like, who said that He's not answering your dua? Like, have you really tried to ask Allah something and in turn He hasn't in some way shown you a response? I mean, literally, like not just like where, okay, a couple times you try and you ask, okay, and then like, you know, no. Like really, like from the bottom of your heart, okay, you turn to Allah and you ask something, and in some way or the other, he doesn't show you anything. Right? This is something that I would pose as a question, and experience has shown otherwise. Okay, numerous times, when addressing this topic, or this topic has come up, mu'mineen have come up and confided to me. They said that, look, when in my life I've really turned to Allah, okay, and I've asked Him for something, and I've made that be part of my life, okay, where I started relying upon Allah, then I started to see how much Allah was giving me, how much He was answering me, and that I wasn't alone, right, and that He was with me. In one way or the other, He showed me an answer to my plea here, okay. And this requires some explanation to understand, right, but I just want to make that as a point that I think that this is a claim that's made, but it's not a real, it can't be supported by evidence. While in fact, the other claim that, okay, whenever I've turned to Allah sincerely, okay, and I've asked Him, and that's become, I've earnestly, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, asked Him, then I've seen that Allah opens up ways for me, and He's shown me His presence, okay? Now, sure. So that's the, sort of the question. Like, it's something to think about, and I would say that I would challenge somebody to come up with and say that. Okay.
So we should really look back into us and
look at the question that you're asking and see whether you really, it's something that's true or not, or is it just a claim that you're making? Okay.
Sure.
Like, I'm not talking about somebody who just sits back and says, "Oh yeah, oh God, please give me, let me win the lottery today or something like that. Let me become rich instantaneously." I know, it's something that's real. You really asked for it from the bottom of your heart, and Allah hasn't answered you. Has that really come up? Okay. Now let's go and go into this a little bit more detail. Okay. Allah is our Rabb. Allah isn't just, He didn't just create us and then leave us in this world to be. No, He's the one who's always standing by us. He's the one who's supporting us. The same way that a tent cannot remain supported without the presence of those pillars and those poles that keep it upright, we cannot also keep alive for even a moment without Allah's attention upon us. He's always with us. Wallahu ma'akum aynama kuntum. Wherever you are, Allah is there. So, if we're calling upon Him and asking Him for something, what is it that's preventing Him from answering our request? Right? Is He somehow impoverished that, you know, like if you ask me for $1 million, I don't have that in my bank account right now, so I can't give it. Is He like that?
No.
Is it the case that He's powerless? He wants to give it, but He can't give it? Is it the case that He doesn't know of our request that we're asking? Right? Is it the case that He knows and He's powerful and capable, He has the ability, He has what it takes, but randomly He's going to choose not to give it just because out of whim? No. Allah is there and He's with us, and He Himself has promised us that He's going to answer our request. Look at what Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah and from the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. Right, very clear here. Ujibu, I answer da'awata da'i, the call and the dua of the supplicant, of the one who's making dua, idha da'ani, if he calls and when he calls upon me. Right. Now, on one hand, we have a promise from Allah that if you call upon Him, you make dua to Him, He's going to answer you. On the other hand, we have some conditions here as well too. And this is the key point I want the viewers of this program to focus on. Allah doesn't just say that you say something and then He's going to come and answer it, right? It's don't look at the movies, like don't look at something like Harry Potter where you just say something with the right type of, you know, formula and spell and kabang, okay, it comes out right there in front of you, you wave a wand. No. Allah is saying that you do dua. What is dua? Is dua something that just comes from the tongue? No, dua is not saying, dua is wanting. And a true wanting. All right? If you want something and you earnestly desire it from the bottom of your heart, sincerely, and you're orienting your life and you're making your actions conform to that thing that you want, right? That's what you call a dua. So if we see that our duas aren't being answered, first of all, we have to see, are we even making dua? Or is it just movement of our tongue? We found this like super, you know, good-looking amal in Mufatul Jinan, right, like you were saying. And we do that, and we're just moving our tongue, right? But we're not doing anything in our action to show that we actually want this. There's no sincerity there. Can we expect that it's going to be answered? No, because Allah's promised, if you make dua, then I'm going to be there for you. The other thing He says in that ayah, إِذَا دَعَانِ, if they call upon Me. Right? Now, if this was just something that was... If Allah just wanted to say that, I answer the question, if it was just like repeating something He already said, then it would bring into question, why is Allah just repeating something? Because He already said that you're calling upon Me. When My servant calls upon Me, I answer him. No. Allah's trying to say something here. He's saying that you have to call upon Me. What does that mean? That means that a lot of times we have needs, right? And maybe with our tongue we say, oh Allah, help me in getting this thing. But with our heart, we're not really going to Allah and asking Him for help. We're asking the doctor. We're asking our teacher. We're asking this administrator. We're asking our boss. Right? We're asking our parents. Now, this is a very fine and subtle point here. There's nothing wrong with asking these individuals. But there's a difference between asking them and putting our hope in them independently of Allah versus asking them and putting our hope in Allah, that Allah is going to channel His help and His answer through them. It's a very important point. It's not just a trivial matter either. This is at the crux of the matter. When I have a dua and I ask Allah, oh, I have this trouble, right? I need this from You, right? And even if there's other things like that might be able to solve this, like this medicine, this class, this teacher, it's You who's going to give me these things. With that belief, then I can expect that there's going to be an answer to that dua. Now, there's another point here to make, which is about what is an answer. Is an answer mean that it comes right away? Or is it always the way I want it? That's something which is an important discussion in and of itself. Inshallah, Shaykh Amin can enlighten us upon that point. But I think sure. That the core, and inshallah, the basis of the response to this question has become clear to the watchers.
Sure. So if I can just illustrate this with an example. Let's say I want to pass my exam at university, and I pray to Allah, oh Allah, please let me pass my university test. I really want it, first of all. But sometimes maybe I feel like in the back of my mind I'm hoping that the teacher somehow will be lenient, or the teacher somehow will be will have some mercy on me. And so basically I have this concept where the teacher plays a role in how in what's gonna get in the mark independently of Allah. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that my prayer is not accepted because I didn't pray to Allah sincerely? I was seeking Allah at the same time I was hoping that the teacher will be this and that.
Well, first of all, if I'm sincere about this plea that I'm making to Allah, can I really do so and then slack off and not do my responsibility when it comes to studying for the exam? Right? That's not really being a sincere, asking for Allah. Because asking for Allah would be that, okay, Allah, You've given me these means, right? And I'm going to do my best with them. And that's the way You're helping me. That's one of the ways You're helping. I'm making use of that. I'm not ignoring that, right?
Sure.
Because that would be like saying, oh Allah, I'm going to ignore the ability that You gave me. No, that's a smack in the face, right?
Definitely.
I'm going to do that, but I need Your extra help, okay? So first of all, I'm going to do that. Second of all, yes, if I'm looking at that teacher and saying that, oh, all my hopes are on that teacher, that, let them not ask me these type of questions, let them make an easy exam, right? Then I'm not really calling upon Allah, I'm calling upon that teacher. Right? Afterwards, if I don't do well, and I go and I beg to that teacher, and I lose all dignity and do that, I'm not really calling upon Allah, I'm calling upon that teacher. Sure. But as part of my dua, if I say, oh Allah, let that teacher not give me a difficult exam, that's something different, because there, I'm not calling upon an entity independent of Allah.
Sure. Now, I've got a question, I'll come back to you, but Shaykh Amin, if I can just ask you, does that mean that any time I really want something, and I really ask Allah for it, will it be accepted?
Alright, first of all, from the start of the program, you kept saying, will it be accepted? Okay, first of all, there's a little point here. Acceptance does not equal fulfillment of the dua. Okay? That's also a misunderstanding, unfortunately. No, no. Dua, it's in and of itself, is ibadah. Alright, regardless of whether or not it's fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has asked us to even, I think in one of the hadith it says, even ask Allah for the salt at your table, ask that from Allah. Right? Ask everything, right? Anything you want from Allah. Dua itself, in and of itself, is ibadah. So when you do dua, it's accepted right there.
The ibadah itself is the acceptance?
It's yes. Okay, so fulfillment is other than acceptance. That's one point. Just like istighfar, even the Prophet, the Imams, Allah had prescribed for them to also perform istighfar. Someone will come out and say, well, the Prophet and Imams were infallible, so there's no reason for them to do istighfar. Why is Allah ordering them, prescribing that they do istighfar? No, no, istighfar in and of itself is ibadah. Okay? That's one point I had to make. Now, your question is, does that mean that anytime if we really want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to happen? Okay? It's a world of cause and effect, alright?
I'm hoping for a yes or no answer here.
And that's the problem we usually have. People have yes or no answers. Okay, well, it's more. There's more to it than just that.
Sure.
It's a world of cause and effect. Okay, if things were going to happen instantaneously, Allah would have taken us straight to heaven. Why even bother to bring us here in the first place? Okay, He knows where everyone's gonna, who's gonna be good, who's gonna be bad. Just take us straight to heaven. Why all this gradualism? And you know, no. Even Allah Himself is, in a sense, okay, I emphasize, in a sense, bound by this cause and effect. In a sense, okay? He says, Allah says, I created the heavens and earth, and the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Of course, 6 days here, in parentheses, some people say this scientifically has been proven wrong. No. That's because they take yawm, or sittati ayyam, as they take it, and they translate it, the equivalent of yawm is day. Well, no, not in Arabic, it's not the case. Yawm in Arabic denotes different meanings. It can have it can mean cycles, six cycles, or so on, etc. This is what ulama are for. They teach us. People think they can take the Quran, just read off translation. No, these points that you were mentioning right now, I think I've seen them in Al-Mizan too, right?
Yes, sir.
We get these from our ulama. Okay? The Quran says, "Ud'uni, call me." Out of this one word, Allama Tabatabai, he says, alright, so this word is saying, it means dua, to really want something. That's sure. One. And ni, me, ask me. And the Shaykh very nicely opened it up. All of this out of this one word, Allama Tabatabai brings it out for us.
Sure. Coming back to
what we're talking about now. Allah is bound to an extent because of this, the capacity of this world of that's bound by cause and effect. It takes six cycles, okay? Or 6 days or whatever, for this world to come about.
So he has no capacity to answer my question? My dua?
Now, exactly, no. See, we're getting closer and closer to the answer. It's like asking, can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a rock, a stone that he himself cannot lift? If he can, that means that there's something out there that Allah cannot lift. That undermines Allah's power. If he can't, then his power of creation, okay, is challenged. Okay, the question itself is wrong. Okay, can Allah give it right there? No, it's a world of cause and effect. Oh Allah, I want $1 trillion right now. Well, this has to come through some means, doesn't it? He's not going to just reveal it unto you, down unto you. Okay, if it was going to work like that, He would take us all straight to heaven and hell. Why bring us here in the first place? No, this world is bound by these causes and effects. And it's interesting. I remembered a story. I was watching this little documentary on religion. What? And the person, of course, the guy who made the documentary, the host and everything, he's anti-religion. So he's going around interviewing people, different people, their experiences of religion and divine grace and stuff like that. He comes to this one person who used to be a Jew, but now is a Christian. He says, why did you even convert? This person says, I was with a Christian friend. It's interesting. I was with a Christian friend, and I was debating with him about like which religion is the true religion, etc. He said, why don't you ask God, ask like Christ for something? If He gives it to you right now, then that shows that that Christianity is the right religion. If not, then yeah, forget it. So he says, I stuck my hand out. I said, God, I ask you for rain. And all of a sudden, it started raining. Okay? That's how superficial it can get sometimes. Okay? Some people will think that it has to rain right at that moment. And this rain is going to be what determines the akhirah of this person. That's not how it works. Alright? Coincidentally, yes, all the different factors, they contributed. At that moment, it was going to rain anyway, even if he had not asked. But now that he asked, there was this coincidence and it happened. Alright, now. That's how some people look at it, but that's not how it works.
So there's a whole cause and effect system by we have to work by, basically.
Yes, that's one. That's one.
Right? Sure. I want you to go to the second one. We have to take a pause now, so we'll come back to it. Just to summarize, we said basically if somebody wants something, and if it's asked sincerely, then Allah has made a promise in the Quran that you call upon me, and I will answer your prayers. And we were discussing what does a real answer mean, what does it mean to be fulfilled in your dua. And inshallah, we should get more after the break. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. We were discussing about the acceptance of our dua, why sometimes we pray and we feel that our duas are not accepted. And Sheikh Salim mentioned that first of all, it's actually, we have to revise the question. Really, is it true that Allah doesn't accept our prayers? If we think deeply, do we really ask? Do we really want it? Do we really ask from Allah? So there's all set of conditions and a sincerity that's implied in it. It's not like I say, okay, I want the lottery today. Oh Allah, give me the lottery, and the lottery will just fall. It's not like that. So that's the first point. The second point we were discussing was about the, what do we mean by Allah doesn't answer my question? This word of answering question, this fulfillment of wishes, what does it mean? And Sheikh Rastani was pointing at first to the system that we are in, where there's a cause and effect system. The whole universe works in a way whereby everything doesn't just fall from the sky. There's a way to get to it. There's means and mediums, where channels through which things are accepted, channels through which things work. And this is a system that Allah has created and put into place, and this is how He works, and this is how we have to abide by. And as the story, as you mentioned the story, the rain fell, not because He asked, but because the system was there, that it was supposed to, the rain was supposed to fall at that time, not because He asked. Now, when I carry on with this topic, we'll share Hassan, inshallah, will enlighten us more into this very interesting discussion. But before you carry on, just quickly the email address, if there's more questions, more suggestions, please feel free to email your questions and suggestions. The email address is displayed at the bottom of your screen. So Sheikh Hamid, please.
So before the break, we were talking about how this dua is taken superficially sometimes, and there's a misunderstanding about it. Yeah, there's conditions to it, okay? There's different rules that govern this world. You can ask. Sometimes you ask wholeheartedly, and you're asking only Allah because you're in a situation that you feel that no one other than Allah can help you. But still, you'll see that you exactly what you were asking for is not given to you. Okay, now the Ayatollah Fatimiyya, which is also one of our great ulama, may Allah prolong his life. He always says this. He says, people come to me, they say, we went to, for example, Mashhad, we asked Allah there because that is one of the holiest places on the face of this earth, to ask Allah for things. But we weren't given anything. We came back empty-handed. Now this alim, he gets very upset when he comes to this line. And I've heard it here and there from him. He says, who says you came back empty-handed? Okay, so we're moving on now. We're assuming that someone really wanted something and asked Allah for it, but still wasn't given it. Okay, and all the cause and effect related conditions are there. Still, he's not given it. He says, why do you say I came back empty-handed? And he gets upset. And he always recites this hadith that I wasn't able to look up before the program, but I remember some parts of it. I think it's from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, where the Imam says, the dua of a mu'min, okay, can be answered in one of maybe five, I think, ways. Okay, now I'm going to try my best to remember all of them. I think I listed some of them here, but sometimes he'll give it to that person, okay? We're looking at this point that empty. Did you really come back empty-handed? Because one of my friends, he said once, yes, I went to Karbala, I went here, there, I really asked Allah for something, really, really, really. And usually you can tell when a youth really asks for Allah for something, it has to do with marriage, okay? It turns out that was the case. So, and it didn't work out, he said. And of course, but I told him, like, just keep on praying. I mean, after Salat, brothers and sisters, the youth out there, one of the great best times to ask Allah for something is after Salats, the five daily prayers. After 1 or 2 years, it did work out eventually, alhamdulillah. Okay, and this also falls into the category that, yes, there's sometimes cause and effect related conditions that have to be met before something happens. She's not just going to come knock at your door, I want to get married to you. No, that's not how it works. Now, going back to the hadith, sometimes Allah gives it. Sometimes He keeps it and gives you better later. Sometimes, who knows, Allah might not even give you anything in this life. But what are we here for? We're here for the afterlife. Allah gives you multiple times more in the afterlife. Okay? And so unfortunately, sometimes you see that these questions stem from an incorrect and inaccurate worldview. Okay? That unfortunately, Western culture has imposed. Okay? And has forced down our throats. Yes. We think that everything's supposed to happen here. No, that's not the case. Even more, and this is...
Instant gratification.
Excuse me?
The culture of instant gratification.
Exactly. Instant gratification. Okay? I mean, unfortunately, this ideology, it goes totally against what the Islamic and Quranic worldview is. Now, what I personally like is this one. Sometimes through this dua, Allah repels something that was supposed to happen to you that would destroy your life forever, this worldly life. Okay, we see what is given to us, okay, and we can, like, you know, count that and see, like, okay, Allah gave me this, that. But when it comes to what has been repelled from us, Allah only knows what has not been, what not happened to us. All right, so there's so much out there. There's so much out there due to our own actions and due to other things that Allah is repelling day in and day out, okay? That we don't know about. All we see is what's given to us. And I remember this little meme that I saw on the internet once. It was really funny, and unfortunately you should cry when you see this though. It's a picture of a little girl on Christmas, I don't know, where she's holding up her, like, black or white iPhone and she's crying. And then beneath it, it says, she asked for a black iPhone, she got a white iPhone. I mean, look to what extent this can reach, okay? She sees what's been given to her. All right, you could have been given something else that was worse than this, right? They were out of that white color, that's why you got black, for example. All right, lots of other things on the list that were supposed to happen that were not good, but you don't see those. You don't take those into account. Allah is repelling those through this dua, this ibadah that you did, and as a reward of that ibadah.
So basically, we need to revise this notion of answering our dua as 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's not like this. It's not because I want a PlayStation right now, I'll get a PlayStation right now.
Yes.
Answering dua can mean it can happen later, I can get something better than that, or it can be repelling something that will come upon me that will be worse, etc., etc. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I have two questions, because we need to end the show very quickly. The first one, to Sheikh Salim, regarding these conditions of the dua. Yes, we said it's important that we really should want this, not something that's verbal. We should recite the 100 rakat amal just verbally, but we should really want it from the heart, firstly. Secondly, we need sincerity, we need to ask Allah only. Don't these conditions make it really hard to get our dua accepted? I mean, who can reach those very difficult conditions? Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to point out one thing which is very important, which is that actually our du'as are being answered all the time. Okay, like, just ask yourself, when was the last time you had any need for anything? Okay, just like from the time you woke up in this morning until now. right? You needed some food, you needed some water, you needed some air to breathe, right? You needed some comfort and some company from people. You needed a brain to be able to think, you needed eyes to be able to see, right? All these needs that we have, even though we might not state them with our tongue, they are things that our existence, our very entity, our being is asking for and is in need of. We're impoverished when it comes to these things. And how many of them have come true for you? So if somebody is despairing, they shouldn't despair. Because for the most part, وَعَتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُ, that Allah says in the Quran that we give you from that which you are asking from. Like for the most part, Allah is answering our du'as all the time. Second of all, then when it comes to the conditions that you were mentioning, that is it something very difficult? No, the essence of it is this, is that we need to feel that want in our heart. Right? If we feel the want in our heart, then right then and right there, the answer is there. Like the du'a is the answer. That ulama tell us that like Allah doesn't say in the Quran, ud'uni, and then later, fa astajib lakum, or thumma astajib lakum. Allah says, ud'uni astajib lakum. Like right then and right there, there's the du'a, and right then is the answer as well too. The fulfillment might come, as Shaykh pointed out, according to God's looking at what our best interest is, what are we really in need of, and what are we asking for?
Sure.
So if we can work on that now, yes, whatever we can learn about the adab of making dua, the etiquette of it, if we can be familiar with the du'as of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, if we can try to put into practice the other instructions we have from the Ahlul Bayt, for example, staying away from sin, that will make our du'as more effective, then we'll see that the du'as are answered more readily and more easily. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't start, okay? And one of the best times to make du'a, we're told, is after our daily prayer. There's a du'a waiting to be answered, we're told. So we shouldn't just be in a rush to stand up. No, we should do tasbih of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra and ask du'a. We can use the du'as of the Ahlul Bayt if we have the time and inclination to do so. Also, making du'a in the sahur time is also quite recommended.
So basically, it's not something that's really, really hard and complicated that we need to like work 40 days, for example,
it's
to get a
prayer accepted.
It's
something that can be improved on. And there's
definitely
always room for improvement.
Definitely.
But at the very essence, can we be people who feel need of something
and be sincere
about it and ask Allah from our heart? We can. So yeah, let's start this one.
And
are we people, do we have needs? Yes, we have needs, both in the material world, but even more importantly, when it comes to our spiritual needs.
Sure. And Shaykh Amin, is it possible to say that sometimes du'as are not accepted because there might be, the thing that I'm asking might be, fulfillment of the du'a, might not be there because the thing that I'm asking for is not good for me right now?
That's the final stage, yeah.
Yeah?
At the end of the day, Allah is like, at least, like that father who sees his child going towards the fireplace, going towards the stove, etc. Okay? And he gets in his way, or her way. That kid cries for it. I want ice cream. I want ice cream every day. I want this. I want that. Well, I know what's best for you. So at the end of the day, it's Allah. It's Allah's choice. And we have to put our trust in Allah. We try our best. We do our duty. Okay? Our duty is to ask. Allah said, ask me. And as Shaykh pointed out, and it's a very important point, at that moment, Allah does answer. Okay? Because the Quran is saying this. But the fulfillment, we have to fix this in our mind, that answering does not equal fulfillment on the spot. Okay? It's not 2 plus 2, as you said, equals 4. It doesn't work like that. There's a system that this world goes by. Okay? In that system, we'll have to see where it's going to be fulfilled. Later? Never? Because maybe it wasn't to our good? In the hereafter? Or it's going to repel something that's supposed to happen to us or in the future? Something like that. That's how it works.
Sure. Thank you very much. So just to summarize what we discussed in today's show, to the question of why aren't my du'as accepted, we said, first of all, this really needs to be thought about again. Did I really seek something that wasn't accepted? More often than not, we'll find that if we really sought something, Allah accepted it. And somehow, maybe not the fulfillment of that thing exactly, but somehow Allah showed it to us that He was listening to our prayer. Secondly, we said that really the conditions of the du'a is that we should seek from Allah first of all, and we should really want it. Sometimes we just go to prayer and say, okay, I want this, we've got a shopping list for Allah basically. We really don't want everything, and they're not really necessary for us. As opposed to times where we're stuck somewhere, we really need Allah to help us. We really need Allah to help us, and we plead to Allah, and at that time Allah really shows the way to us basically. And then we said very, very interestingly and very importantly, this notion that, you know what, I want a PlayStation, it should come here right now. Or I want the exam to be passed by 100 out of 100, it should happen there and there. We said, as Sheikh Rastani very, very interestingly pointed out, first of all, there's a whole concept of cause and effect. There's a whole system by which the world works. There's a whole system by which Allah has created and He works within the system. We can't just ask something to fall from the sky. It doesn't work like that. And secondly, very, 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 very importantly, is this notion of fulfillment of dua doesn't mean that it has to happen here now the way I wanted it. Rather, first of all, the dua itself, whilst I'm asking, I'm getting acceptance, because as you said, it's worship itself, and that's Allah listening to me. Because it's not possible Allah doesn't listen to me. He's with me wherever I am. So definitely He's listening to me, with all His love, with all His mercy. Secondly, it could be the acceptance of the dua could be in the shape of giving it to me later, or it could be in the shape of repelling something that's going to come to me that's going to be bad, or it could be this in the shape of not giving me anything right now, but giving it to me better, a million times better in the hereafter, in eternal times better in the hereafter. Because at the end of the day, we know that this world is not something eternal, it's something that we're going to leave very quickly, it's very something very shallow, basically. So really, as we said at the beginning, the answer really requires pondering and reflecting, and we come to realize that actually just asking Allah is actually a blessing itself. Just having the tawfiq to come to this after salah, as you said, and raising our hands and praying, this itself is a very good blessing, and it's accepted by Allah, just the fact that we've got the tawfiq to pray at that moment. So it's really, we should be positive, we should be confident, we should strive towards asking Allah more, and we should really also feel very needy of Allah, at the same time be sincerely asking from Allah, and Allah always listens to our prayers, He's always with us and with the eyes of mercy. Correct?
Thank you for a good summary.
Thank you very much. I think it was very inspirational, and I think we learned a lot from it. Inshallah, we should be working on this and trying to turn towards Allah as much as we can, inshallah. Thank you very much. Thank you to all the listeners. Again, if there's any questions, if there's any questions, suggestions, please feel free to email. The email is at the bottom of the screen. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
باسمك يا إلهي ضارعا إن لم تجرني فمن يجير بكائي أنت الكريم فلا تدع فلقد عنيت من العباد النائي مالي سوى أعتاب جودك موئل فلئن طردت فمن سواك دوائي فلقد رجوتك يا إلهي ضارعا فلقد رجوتك يا إلهي ضارعا بمحمد ألا تخيب رجائي بمحمد ألا تخيب رجائي.